very much. All that singing, playing was wonderful. Isn't it good to see how God's using young people? At Camp Zion this year, there were a lot of young preachers there, young singers, and a lot of the older people's moving off the scene. If they're not moving off, they're getting slower. But thank God for the young people God's sending. We appreciate goodness of God allowing us to hear that wonderful music tonight, singing too. Turning Bibles back to where we had it this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Too big a subject to get through in one message. And it won't be the same subject in that, although it will probably be some of the same scriptures. This morning we dealt mostly with honoring God, and that's what the chapter said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. He said, if we would honor him, he would honor us. Just makes sense, doesn't it? Most of the things we look at, and we talk to one another, and we listen, and we try to rationale and think about what others say, and then we finally say, well, that makes sense. It just makes perfectly good sense to me, and God never does anything but what is right. That he said, if you'll just follow me and listen to me, I'll bless you. He's got the blessings to give us. So we won't deal and we won't dwell too much tonight on that thought of honoring God. We didn't extend all that this morning to the bottom of it, but I want to look at the other side of it. God says those people that will not be honored by me and those people will not honor me, then I'll have to deal with that. 1 Samuel 2:30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith. Don't we hear enough of what people say? If you watch TV very much, the anchors, they'll tell you 2 or 3 hours commentary what they think somebody's going to say at a big speech or something. Then after they give a 10, 15-minute speech, they'll spend days telling you what they said. And none of it makes a lick of sense. But listen to what the scripture says. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, pay attention. When God speaks, it will be right. I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I want to dwell on that last phrase of that verse for the night's message. And let's look at the thought that God will dishonor those who dishonor him. Now, if you look at it from our perspective, from what little I know and for what all of us know together, probably not a whole lot compared to all that there should be known. But we could all agree tonight that there are far fewer people honoring God. And it's not a problem for him. If everybody was honoring him, he could honor them all at the same time. He's God. He's a big God. But think of the millions and millions that are not honoring God, and he is just not sitting idle in that respect. He said those that dishonor me, I will lightly esteem. That means dishonor, discredit. They'll amount to little, and finally they'll end up at total destruction, those people that won't honor him. So looking at it and trying to put a measure on it, God's got a lot more to do bringing dishonor of those that dishonor him. Of course, it won't be a problem for him either way. Let me show you where I'm going in that. There was a song not long ago, and you know me, I'm not much of a critic. I don't criticize a whole lot of things. It's better to spend your time giving praise and honor and let it fall where it may. But if something offends God, it offends me. I'm not very easy to be offended. Say what you want to, look at me strange. Really don't bother me that much. It's not that I'm super saying anything, but it really doesn't. But when my God is being dishonored, it really offends me and bothers me. And there was they called it a Christian song that came out long ago, and you may like it, but it offends me. And the song said that God would bankrupt heaven if he needed to do this and that. And the very thought that God would have to bring heaven to bankruptcy when he has to even to think that. I wouldn't even think about the people that don't love God. Just the thought of God having to bankrupt heaven. He's got everything. He can do anything. I don't even think the thought, much less listen to the words. And that offends me. First time I ever heard the song, it offended me bad. Next time it came on, I shut the radio off for the day. That bothers me. So God can handle it either way. If people honor him, he can bring all those blessings to us. And if we all start honoring more, it won't be a problem for God. And on the other hand, if the whole world stops honoring, it won't be a problem for him either because he's got all power. So let's look tonight to see how he will deal and how he has dealt in the past with those people that won't honor him. God will dishonor those who dishonors him. First of all, I want to look at the foreknowledge of God. God not only knows everything that's going on, but he knows everything that will go on. He knows every person that will be born. We are serving the big God, so therefore they even thought that God would have to bankrupt heaven if don't even think about that. Get that out of your mind, Roy. Because God's God. Look at the foreknowledge of God. He says in 1 Samuel 2:31, "Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house." He's talking about Samuel's prophecy now, what God is speaking to him, and he's telling him what he's going to do. Samuel's doing the writing about Eli, the priest, and we looked at him this morning. He wouldn't honor God. And God came to him, a man of God was sent to him, and warned him, "That son of yours and that son of yours bring reproach on my name." God do something about it. And they wouldn't. And God's already said, those people will dishonor me, will be lightly esteemed, be dishonored by me. And this is a prophecy in that regard, 1 Samuel 2:31. The whole of days will come. And he knows how many days that will be. "That I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from thine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age." So far, I would say God is going to lightly esteem them. He's going to highly dishonor them, just like Eli has highly dishonored him. But not only him, generation and generation to come. It's not just you and me by not honoring God, but when we're dishonoring him, it goes on to our children and their children's children. This is God's word. "And this shall be a sign unto thee," verse 34, "that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, and one day they shall die, both of them." We stated about that this morning. There was a battle. The Philistines were out there, and they had been shaking in their boots already. And then when they heard Israel shouting, they, ooh, we're in trouble again, because they've got a big God. But God knew ahead of time what was going to happen, see, the foreknowledge of God. And he's already appointed a day that those two sons have been bringing reproach on the house of God, which is his house. He tells what he's going to do with them. One day they're going to die at the same day. "And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that all which is mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house. He shall walk before mine anointed forever." And we know the story that not that long after that, God had a battle, arranged a battle, the Philistines on one side, Israel on the other. And because the God of the house had been denied and being dishonored, then God let the enemy prevail. And the two sons did that. But what about this other prophecy about the old man's going to die off and there will never be an old man in the house? What about the priesthood? Let's look 150 years in the future like God does. We can't look in the future because it's all back for us. But God's looking 150 years in the future now and arranging this so this happens. Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings 2:24. Solomon's on the throne now. His father David is giving him the throne. God has given him the throne through his father David. And this happened 150 years later. Now, therefore, as the Lord liveth, 1 Kings 2:24, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me an house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. And to Abiathar the priest said the king, get thee to Anathoth and to thine own field, for thou art worthy of death, but thou wilt not at this time put thee to death, because thou beareth the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted. So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord, which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. God's foreknowledge, oh, it's not just 150 years, it's from the beginning before he created mankind until there won't be a last. But forever and ever, he's a big God. We are a servant, a big God. He arranges, he orchestrates. And he knew full well that David would be that little shepherd boy he would put on the throne. And he knew full well David would falter and sin and come short. But he also knew God would forgive him. He would forgive David when he confessed. And he knew he would confess and acknowledge and repent. And so God bearing had him a son, Solomon. And Solomon just was following God like you and I need to follow God. And that prophecy that they made, Eli and his household been on the throne. And God doesn't get in a hurry sometimes. You say, with God, just in a few months, he got rid of those two boys, Hophni and Phinehas. But now he let that priesthood continue 150 years. God's arm is not shortened that he cannot save, and he will always hear. But what he has spoken in his word will surely come to pass. And this day that we just read about, he was thrust from the priesthood. And Zadok of the priestly order was instated in his place. And God sees you and he sees me. And this message will let us know that God deals with the fact that he wants honors. He prefers. If we'll just honor him, he specializes in honoring. It pleases him to be able to honor us. But he must and he will dishonor us if we dishonor him and his house. And the foreknowledge of God, he already knows how he's going to do that. When we dishonor him and bring reproach on him, he knows how he's going to, if it's me and my house, he's got it all figured out. And he doesn't get in a hurry doing it. He may do it tomorrow, but he will do it, the foreknowledge of God. Let's look at now the enemy. The fame and the recognition of who God was seemed like it was the back of Israel's mind. They were not remembering. Well, they knew, but somehow it didn't make much difference to them that God was so big. He brought them out of the land of Egypt. He'd give them all this land. He'd bless them and set up all the worship service. And he wanted to bless them. He had been blessing them when they were blessable. But they had forgot it, just like America has. Just like churches have, just like sometimes I do, and you'll have to answer for yourself. But rest assured, when we bring dishonor to him, he will bring dishonor to us. So we've seen the foreknowledge of God, how he brings it all to pass, all the honoring. He's got that all laid out to the side. And he don't have to bankrupt heaven to do it. He's got plenty. And all the dishonoring, he's got all, that's all in his hands. But I want to concentrate now on the enemy. You see, the enemy sometimes, they can't deal with God, but they're aware of it. His fame and his recognition has been foretold to them. And sometimes they take it more to heart than we do. God help us. Look at 1 Samuel 4, verse 6. This is what the enemy, the Philistines now, is getting ready to go to battle. They've heard a shouting. And the shouting is because Israel thinks that the Lord God's going to show up with the ark. And when he does, they know that he's big enough to defeat the enemy, and they think he will. Obviously, they don't believe the verse where he said, if you honor me, I'll honor you. They haven't been honoring him. I don't know if they didn't know it, wouldn't admit it. Surely they had to know it. They wouldn't admit it. Maybe they just thought like most people do today, that I'll live any way I want to, act any way I want to, bring disgrace to God and my family, everybody. And then when they need God, he'll be there. But he wasn't. But the enemy now, let's look at 1 Samuel 4, verse 6. Look at the fame and recognition the enemy held about the God of the Hebrews. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? They understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. And the Philistines were afraid. For they said, God is coming to the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a time heretofore. Here we are gathered to battle, and man on man, we can whoop them. We're more numerous than them. But now their God has come into the camp, and woe be unto us. The fear the Philistines and the fear that the people had of the God of the Hebrews was much more severe than the fear the Hebrews had of the God doing what he said he'd do to them. Isn't that amazing? But we got to bring it home to ourselves. We live in a society today that, and I don't have to tell you more about that. You know what kind of society we live in today. But God is not pleased when we don't honor him, and God is aware of it. He's more aware of it than us. In fact, he's aware of how we'll dishonor him tomorrow if we do. Look at verse 8. So because of all this, they said, we've never been in a jam like this. Their God is in their camp. Woe unto us. Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. They know they're in the middle of a bad fix, but we also know, because of the scripture we read this morning, that just because they had the pretense and they got God, or today the Holy Ghost indwells us, and we belong to him, and just because we go to a certain place and we think God's with us when we've been dishonoring him, and we make mistakes and blunders, and then the enemy's out there ready to attack us, and then we can just, oh, God help us. But he's already said, if you honor me, I'll honor you. And if you don't honor me, you're dishonoring me, and I'll bring reproach on you. That's just as clear you couldn't miss it if you wanted to. So we've seen now that the foreknowledge of God is so wonderful. And since he knows everything, wouldn't it be good if we just let our minds and our hearts say, God, if you know and you do, then help me to be what you want me to be. We need help from him. Because we're weak, we're frail, within ourselves, within the flesh, there's nothing good. So if anything's done, it'll have to be God in you, the hope of glory. It'll have to be God through us. We know we can't do it, but we know with God all things are possible. And we know we need help from him to keep our minds stayed on him. There's so many attractions in the world that would attract us, and so much evil, and so much getting even with, and so much hatred and bitterness and contrariness. A lot going on and surely we need God's help. So we've looked at these two thoughts, but I want to look at one other before we close tonight. You see, God's not finished yet. I stopped this morning short of what happened. We saw Eli. He'd already known the prophecy. It was told him what God's going to do. He had the ultimatum. You told go take care of your two boys and get them to repent and stop sinning and get charge of my house and give me honor and glory and I'll bless you. And he chose not to do that, so he knew. He knew because I've been told your son's going to die the same day. And they just got word they died. But what really got him was when they told him the ark of God. As soon as that word was mentioned, he fell over backwards and broke his neck. And that's not the end of the story. Let's go back and look what happens also. Yes, he's gone, and God did get rid of all the priests that was under his family name. It took him 150 years to do it. I shouldn't say that. He could have done it tomorrow if he'd wanted to. God chose to do it within 150 years. But at the same time, he could have done it any time he wanted to. And let's look at verse 18 of chapter 4, 1 Samuel. And it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell from off the seat backward. I'm not sure he even heard the word that it was taken by the enemies. He just knew that he knew that he knew when God's ark was mentioned, he was in trouble. And he just gave up the ghost. He just fell backwards. And he died. For he was an old man and heavy. And he had judged Israel 40 years. Isn't that amazing? I don't know how many of these 40 years he let that go on. Didn't surprise God. Could God have stopped it? Sure he could. But God allowed it, permitted it. And God had much had rather blessed his people, but they wasn't blessable. So he has no choice, because he's God and he will do what he said. But he let the enemy come in. That's not the all the enemy did. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said to her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. So at the same time she had heard the news, husband dead, father-in-law's dead, ark of God's taken. She just gave birth. But she didn't live to see the little one. God's still given recompense. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." And we use that phrase, and God used that phrase many times. The glory of the Lord should be esteemed. It should be everything. All flesh should be given glory to God. No flesh can glory within itself and please God. But yet we see a lot of people, God help me, that I don't glory within myself. God's not pleased. We're not honoring him if we glory within ourselves. So the glory was departed. God help our nation not to have the glory departed. God help our churches, our families, individuals, not to have the glory of God departed. We know how it happens because God is not honored. That's strictly the way it happens. And that's still not the end of the story. God's taking his time doing this, but we'll hurriedly go into chapter 5. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. The Philistines think they really captured something. They don't understand. The world does understand about our God. They know the fame of him. They know the reputation. They've heard you and I testify what great things he's done. They know the word of God. They've heard how God delivered Israel from and separated the Red Sea, and how created the world. They may not believe it, or they say they don't. They may believe it and don't want to accept the thought. But nonetheless, they don't know how to deal with God. Listen what happens. Now they think they got the ark, and they think they don't understand that the ark of God is God with the people if they obey him. His presence is there. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord, and they took Dagon and set him in his place again, a statue of their god, and they put Ark of the Covenant beside it, no doubt to make fun. Our God still stands, and this ark used to be in the Hebrew territory, and now it's in our territory. Next morning, their idol was falling down on his face. God just arranged that, did he not? And when they arose early on the morning, behold, Dagon was falling on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon his threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. It wouldn't take a brilliant person to try to figure out what had happened to that. Not human hands, but the presence of God. Even though God's presence wouldn't be with his children Israel when they thought, but God's presence was there to discomfit the enemy, and God's presence is always there to discomfit the enemy, he would rather honor his people. But since they didn't want the honor, they had rather, at least they chose that route, to have dishonor. Then the enemy now has got the Ark of the Covenant. They're not going to fare well at all. And they won't until we read that last verse of the day. They finally said, you know, there's a lot of things happening, and it's a separate message. We won't go into that. But all the time they were there, they finally realized what they should have known to start with. We're dealing with something we can't deal with. And when the God of heaven puts pronounces judgment upon a nation, a people, the enemy, or even his people, the only thing we can do is repent and say, God, help us. Because God is a man of his word. If he said it, he's going to do it. We tell ourselves sometimes, I'm going to do this, and I like to do that. And sometimes we're not able to perform it. But the God of heaven, the Creator God, has already told us, I'll honor you if you'll honor me. And if you don't honor me, I'll disquiet you, and I'll bring dishonor to your name. Believe it or not, that's the way God performs it. He performs it as he will. For the two boys of Eli, it was pretty swift. Ark of the Covenant was gone, and God's not worried about that. He knew that they would put it on the ox cart, and he just told the ox to take it to the place they want to take it. And even later on, when David was on the throne, remember, he wanted the presence of God. He loved God. And he said, God, you've always dwelt in the wilderness. I want to build you a temple. I want to build you a house. It's in my heart to do so. And he was a rich king because he had captured many of the enemy and got their gold and silver. Not for himself. He didn't want it for himself. He was accumulating all that wealth for the house of God. And God gave him a pattern. But yet God says, you're a man of war. You've killed too many. I can't let you build it. I gave you the pattern, but I'll use your son, Solomon. Solomon was the one that built the house according to God's pattern that he had given David. And David now is a man after God's own heart. But there again, because of his sins and iniquities, God forgave him. But at the same time, he would not let him build his house. Now we have this great feat. David wants to build a house, and he wants to get the ark there. And he doesn't follow the word of God. He sends out and he puts it on a cart. And remember, Uzziah touched it and died. How many times do we know the word of God, but we take God lightly? God said it that way, but did he really mean it? He really did. And then David, who was wrought, didn't understand. God, I wanted to get the ark to Jerusalem, and I wanted to build a house. And God says, but there's a prescribed way to do it. Read the book. It's in the book. It's got to be carried the way I intend it to be carried. The presence of God. The Holy Ghost is a very sensitive person. And we offend him real easy when we don't honor the Father, we don't honor the Son. We offend and bring offense to the Holy Ghost. And God won't bless us. He can't bless us. It's beyond the ability of God to bless us unless we do it the way he wants us to do it. And it's just really simple. Humbler says, therefore, under the mighty arm of God, humility, brokenness, a broken and a contrite heart I will not despise, thus saith the Lord. I swear to please him. We get high and mighty, we put ourselves on the pedestal and try to proclaim we're something. And all we have to do is just bow our head and worthy heads and say, God, without you, I'm nothing. But if you'll help me, but all the desire of your heart, do you really want to honor him? Do you really want the blessings of God? And surely with all, yes, I want the blessings of God. To do so, we must be willing to confess and to bring our burdens to him and bend upon our knees in humility and say, God, I need your help. Our nation needs your help. We need revival. And if God bursts that into your heart, he will perform it. If we'll honor him. Would you stand in that? Your heads are bound. Altar's open. Be a good time to come and pray. Pray for revival. Pray for a nation. Pray for those that's lost. Pray for those that's in the hospital. We got so much to pray for. And we know we have to repent. We have to confess. We have to acknowledge him. And be willing to submit ourselves to him, holy and acceptable unto God. Lord Jesus, thank you for this word that you've given us tonight. It's your word. Help us, Father, to honor it, to respect the God of the word. And God, you do know our plight, you know our future, you know everything about us. And help us, Father, to be that broken spirit, a contrite spirit that looks to you and to you only, that doesn't go the way of the world, prestige and honor and glory of man. We don't want that. We don't need that. You won't accept that. But God, you will accept a humble heart. And help us to have that. Help us, Father, to know that you're going to bless us. We're blessable. We don't even have to ask for them. It's okay if we do. But God, if we'll just give you honor and glory, the blessings are there. We can spend our time praying and praying for something else. So help us, Father, to be blessable. And the blessing will come. You've already promised that. That's not a problem. Help us not ever to even think or do anything to bring dishonor or discredit or reproach upon the church of a living God, upon the God of the church, upon the blessed Holy Ghost, precious Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Oh God, if we'll just do that, the blessings are there. You have them, you want to send them our way. And God, if we want to refuse them and go the other way, you'll take care of that too. It won't be what we want, but it'll be what we deserve. But we want mercy, and we want grace in time of need, and we sure are needy. And we bless you, and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Amen.